Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking for an all-natural solution to skincare? Try SimpliCeta all-natural skincare products. Coconut oil locks in moisture with nature's finest organic solution. Rich with vitamin E and rejuvenating proteins, it can help with enhancing skin nourishment for wrinkles, skin damage, tissue repair, and more. SimpliCeta skincare line includes SimpliCeta coconut oil, SimpliCeta bath salts, and SimpliCeta bath gel. Get healthier looking skin today. Order all three today for $40 at www.simplyceta.com. And I know for a fact that it helps with diabetic edema. My husband has edema on both of his legs. He is insulin dependent, and he also has very dry skin on his feet and toes, and it has made a world of difference. You definitely want to go to www.simplyceta.com and order her products today. They do not have any unnatural ingredients or any preservatives. It is all simply coconut oil with maybe a little jasmine. Order it today. Are you looking for a website creator that will make your website stand out above the herd? Are you looking for someone that knows your needs and can create a website that is not only eye-catching, but one that will stay with the customer as they scroll through the net? If so, contact Wellhaven and Associates. Lourdes Wellhaven has the magic touch when it comes to websites. You give her an idea and let her run with it, and she will create something beautiful. If you don't believe me, check out authoryvonmason.com and see what she has done for me. And here's the great thing. If you contact her and give her my name, she'll give you $100 off. So don't wait. Don't delay. Call today or go online and look up Wellhaven and Associates and send her an email and tell her what you need. She will get back with you promptly.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Yvonne Mason, and this is Off the Chain. And for those of you who have been with me since the beginning, you all know why I have named this show Off the Chain, because I've had some very diversified guests and will continue to have those diversified guests. We discuss anything except that which is illegal, slightly immoral, and extremely pornographic. I draw the line at pornographic. Too old for pornographic. Tonight's guest is a friend of mine that I have not yet had the pleasure of meeting in the 10 years that she and I have known each other, but we have traveled a road together that I am tickled to death to have her with me. My guest tonight is the Reverend Dr. Deborah Simpson. She is the owner of Spirit Cove, and she is a psychic, a medium, an energy healer, and has been since childhood. She is clairaudient, clairsentient, and clairvoyant. She is also highly proficient in psychometry. She has channeled since the age of 9 and is a published author of Automatic Writing and Prophecy. She's been providing professional psychic medium readings for more than 20 years, and she has aided in numerous paranormal investigations, both in commercial and residential settings, as well as aided in missing persons investigation. I have to tell you, Deborah is a masterful authority regarding psychic work and experiences. As a medium, she bridged the gap between you and the departed. Her psychic readings are direct, validating, and enlightening, giving you a deeper understanding of your life's journey through the past, the present, and into the future. She works with her guides to give you peace of mind and fortitude. The information you receive is intricate and detailed and will provide you with answers and new perspectives for your life so that your steps lead you in positive directions. As a writer, Deborah has been described as the poet of our generation. With a critically acclaimed unique writing style, her verse has been scripturally compared to celebrated guest of yore. If you relish the works of Keats, Shelley, Poe, Dickinson, E.E. Cumming, and Hemingway, Deborah's work is sure to keep your literary senses tingling. Her metaphysical works have been compared to such world-famous psychics as Edgar Cayce and the world-famous Nostradamus. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Yvonne.
How are you, my dear?
I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. It's been forever since we talked.
Oh, it's been too long, girlfriend, too long.
I know. We used to have at least once a month telephone conversations. We don't even do that anymore.
I know.
Well,
I think life just gets in the way, right?
But we're too young for life to get in the way.
I know.
Speaking of life, let's tell our listening audience a little bit how we met 100 years ago and our journey together and what happened. I'm going to let you run with that one.
Ah, okay. Well, about 100 years ago.
In a land far, far away.
Yeah, far, far, far away. Oh, my goodness. Well, at that point, I think I was just, you know, putting my first book together and finding a publisher. And got it published, and I found you on MySpace, or we found these, whoever found who. And your first book was coming out, I believe, at the same time.
Yep.
And, yep, and then we swapped books, and I couldn't put your book down. It was Brilliant Insanity, and I could not put it down. The book was just awesome. It just sucked you right in. I remember that book. It was amazing. The book was phenomenal. And I thought it was real. I thought it was a true story until you told me it was fiction. Get out of here.
But see, I wrote that book at the same time I did write The True Crime.
Yeah.
I was writing both of those at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought it was a real story. I was so sucked into it. You couldn't put it down. You know? I was like, oh, my goodness.
That is funny.
And I have to say, you know, out of all the people that I've met, you know, online, in person, or whatever, I will say this about you. You definitely, when you say you pay it forward, you pay it forward. You're one of the most honest, one of the most sweetest and endearing persons that I have ever met throughout this entire writing paranormal journey that I can say. And it's an honor for me to be on your show. And I all these years have gone by. We followed each other over the Ning Network, all the writing networks, all the Facebook, all the networks. We just follow each other. And I've seen you, you know, go through your own personal stuff. You know, my heart breaks for lots of stuff that has gone on for you. And still, you're out there, you know, doing what you do, living your passion, and helping other people. You're truly a remarkable woman.
You're going to make me blush and cry.
Oh,
and I don't do
good.
Either one of those easily. Thank you, my
good.
Sweet friend. Thank you so much. I am truly humbled that you are on my show, because you also are a very, very busy woman. You went from the one book of prophecy to a whole plethora of books, of poetry and omens and essential quotes. And tell me about some of these books. Let's start with Timeless Quotes.
Oh, Timeless Quotes is a really short read. I've been automatic writing since I was a child, and so I was like 9 years old. And those quotes, things like that just come to me. And sometimes I think it's, you know, like as we're in the dawn of the internet, you know, and everything has to be short and succinct. I found myself writing these little inspirational quotes at one point and just popping them onto Facebook. And then instead of writing a book, I was popping them onto Facebook. But I figured, oh, well, I'm going to take these quotes and I'm just going to make a little quote book, you know, and then I ended up making a few of them. But it was that actually, the quote books came about because I was, to tell you the truth, I was just bored of writing. I have two fiction novels that I've shelved that I'm writing, actually. I have two novels, totally out of my realm of writing. And they came about because I just got bored. Tell you the truth, that's what happened.
Well, and it's good, though, to stretch your creative craft because it keeps your brain titillated and keeps you going in a path that I know is your passion as much as it is mine.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, as you know, you have to live your passion, but you need breaks in between your writing. You need breaks in between your books to get, you know, your bearings together and to be able to write a whole new story with a whole new look on it and a whole new perception. You know, look how many books you have out, right?
And as varied as the day, yeah, and they're as varied as the day is long. Because like you, I get bored easily, and when I get bored, well, we know about the bodies, right?
Yeah, the bodies start getting discovered. Yeah. Oh, you're hysterical.
Yeah, they'll never be found. So, about this love and romance book?
The love and romance book. That was actually a very endearing project for me. Back in the day when I was writing my books and I was really heavily into writing them and getting them out there, I did a few anthologies. And I actually collected the works of a lot of different poets from around the world. And I had a submission going. So people submitted their poetry on that topic, love and romance. I have a high bar for writing. And I have a high bar as to what I feel is good and what's not good. So I raised the bar. The submissions that I took and I published, I feel are on the level with all of our celebrated great poets around the world, you know, dead and alive. And I feel that the writing that I picked out for that book nails the highs and the lows of love. And the crashes of it, so it's good for everyone in every level of love that they're in. And, you know, it exemplifies the good, it helps you with the bad, and it pushes you forward. You know, it's really a phenomenal collection.
Tell me about, because I read this book, The Constellation of Omens. Tell our audience about this. This, ladies and gentlemen, this book, it will scare you to death. So tell our audience about this book and how you came about writing this book.
Yes, I'm going to tell you how I came about that writing that. All throughout my life, I've written prophetic poetry. That's how all my channeling has come through. My whole life is poetry. One day, I got fed up writing poetry. And I said out loud to myself in the car one day, I said, as I'm pulling into my job, I'm pulling into the parking lot, and I hear a poem coming through my head, and I said, no, if you want me to write something, you're going to give it to me straight, because I'm tired of poetry. I got tired of writing things encrypted in poetry. So I said, if you're going to give it to me, give it to me straight. Well, that was in 2008, before the first election for president, before Obama got elected. And I remember driving home that day from work. You know, I work full time, 9 to 5. I'm driving home, radio blasts and blah blah. I stop at a red light, and I'm just kind of vegging. I look up at the sky, and all of a sudden, like, I saw a vision in the sky. Like, the whole sky turned red. There was like a blue dividing line down it, and there were thousands and thousands of ironclad soldiers to the left and to the right of this line in the red sky. And the next thing I hear is the spiritual realm is dividing and preparing for battle. And I looked, and I my whole body went numb, and I'm dry. I'm in the car. I had to pull over. I drove home, and I opened my computer, and I wrote what I titled to be the apocalypse. And then from there, the whole book started. That book, Yvonne, I finished it. Working full-time, being a single mother, I finished that book in 3 months. I finished that book before the Obama election. And then it got edited and everything after that and published in January of 2009. It has world disasters in it. The interesting thing is, Yvonne, I'm not world traveled. You know, I don't know about. I'm geographically challenged. You know, I barely even watch the news. I work all the time, and there are things about Bangladesh in there. There are things about the river turning green. If you remember, a river did turn green in Canada,
uh-huh.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
There are things that the shift in gravity. It was predicted in the book, and we had a huge shift in gravity. I believe it was the beginning of 2012 or 2011, where the North Pole shifted 13 degrees. We had to recalibrate the Florida airport. Remember?
Yep, I remember that.
You know, the healthcare bill, the what they call Obamacare, that's in the book. That was predicted. Just a lot of disasters. Oh, and they did find a new, they found a new thing at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And in the book, it was predicted that there was a book or something that wasn't found there. And they recently found it was in the news not too long ago. I think it was last year or something. I can't keep up anymore. But there's all these different things in the book that I consider to be fiction, but they're happening. So it's scary.
Well,
and the whole thing was challenged.
But given your abilities, and I deliberately did not define what those abilities meant when I read them because I want to go through them one by one. But before we do that, let's talk about Tales of the Supernatural because being a paranormal investigator is another one of your passions. So let's
mm-hmm.
talk about the book first, and then we'll talk about the things that you do, the channeling, and then we'll go into the paranormal investigations.
Well, the Tales of the Supernatural, I've always been, you know, curious, obviously, about the other side and about the unexplainable, you know, happenings in life. So that was actually another anthology, and I made a whole submission process, and I collected works from around the world from writers and created this book, and the imagination from the writers are phenomenal. And if not imagination, you know, they put some of their true stories or some of, you know, their experiences into a poetic form. So it's all about anything supernatural. It's some people wrote about aliens, encounters, you know, spirits and different, you know, paranormal activities, but it's all in poetic form. So it flows. It's really a cool anthology. There's a lot of good writers in there too. It's all about supernatural stuff.
All right, let's talk about your abilities. Now, I told the audience that you had been channeling since you were 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that you had these abilities at 9 years
old? Well, I really
didn't.
Yeah, well, at 9, I did not know. You know, I would just put myself in my room with my pad of paper and write. I recall around the age of 10 or 11, my writing got so, like, deep. I had to pull out a dictionary because I didn't know how to spell things. And back then, we didn't have a computer, you know. And I remember this one line that I wrote, and it was, "Pontifical retribution scalloped within the breath of wisdom." I spelled everything wrong on my paper. And I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, what? What? What does this mean? I had to look all that up. And it was, you know, and it was things like that. And I would write it, and I wouldn't understand what I wrote. These things would just come out. And it was in a, I heard, like, if I were to read the poetry, it's in a very heavy, duty, old English accent. So if I were to actually read my writings as I heard them, as I wrote them, that's the type of voice that would come out, like, very British, very, like, English, you know. Speaking.
Very proper English, I'm sure.
Yes, extremely proper. Yes, the whoms and the twos and the ones and the fours. Very, very proper. Yeah,
the Queen's English,
proper.
As they
and
say.
And if you listen to me talk, you'll know I'm not proper, you know?
You're a Jersey girl. What do they expect?
Exactly. I'm from Jersey, honey. You know? You know, I'm not proper over here, you know? I'm right on the border of New York over here.
So before we get too deep into your abilities, explain to my listening audience what the three C's are.
What the three C's are?
Uh-huh.
You have clear hearing, clear seeing, you have clear knowing. Basically, the best way for me to describe how I am is I basically walk through life with a blank head. I don't think. My brain is actually blank on any given day. For me to think about something, I actually have to sit down and think about it. So I keep my stress level low that way, too. Like, my brain is basically empty, and it's always on receive mode. So anything around someone else, I'm just always in a receive kind of mode. So, for instance, I have a full-time job. So the other day I'm at work. One of the girls is in my office talking to me about, you know, work. And I looked at her and I said, "Who's Grace?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know somebody named Grace." And it was her. She knew three women named Grace who had died. And I told her, "No, it's the one with the little grandson." Well, it was her mother's friend, Grace, who died, and her mother happened to be still grieving over it and couldn't get past the fact that this woman, Grace, had passed away, and she had a little grandson. So it's like the best way to describe it is just I'm constantly receiving. I'm receiving the feelings and the – I don't hear voices. It's not that I hear voices. It's just that I don't even know how to explain it. You just feel it, and what you feel turns into words.
It's like being an empath.
Yeah.
It's the best
exactly
way
like
I
it.
Can describe it. Because as an empath, we pick up on other people's feelings, whether they're positive or negative energy, and whatever energy they're giving off, we take that energy in.
Oh, yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, it's all based on energy. Oh, go ahead.
So if you are always in a receiving mood or in a receiving mode, it must be terribly, terribly difficult not to always picking up all that energy and all those feelings from all those people. Because I have to shut down. I have to get away from people.
I turn it off. So, like, through the years, I've learned how to turn it off. So even though my brain is perpetually blank, it just is. I know. It makes me sound stupid, right? I know.
No, actually, it doesn't. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know, it's off. I think about things when I have to. Put it that way. If I don't have to think about it, I don't bother. But, you know, you learn how to turn it off. Like when it's coming and it's not a good time, you tell them, "Listen, it's not a good time. I'm busy. You come back at 6 o'clock tonight. I'll talk to you later." You know, you just tell them to come back later, you know. Well, you give them a time, you know. Not that they're going to listen to you, you know. But you just tell them, "Oh, I'm busy right now." You know, like, go away.
Do you find yourself battling with all of these different... Like if you're in a room full of people, let's say you're at a gathering, do you find yourself battling with all the different emotions and all the different energy that's coming off of all the people in the room?
It can definitely become overwhelming, but I do like the galleries and the seances. So I do those too, and it could be overwhelming, but I think the biggest thing is to when they're all coming at you at once, you tell them one at a time, you know, and then they basically line up, and then you just start spitting it out one at a time, you know. And when it's like too many people, you just tell them one at a time, you know. I think it's a matter of taking control over it, you know, versus letting them control you. some of them have a really loud mouth, and some of them, like some of the deceased people, have really, like, they want messages to get across, and they want them to get across right now. So they might, like, push ahead of the rest of the group or whoever's there, you know, like, hey, me first, you know.
So, they're probably pretty demanding in real life, too.
Oh, yes. I've had that experience. They are. Everything you are here, your whole personality here is the same personality you're going to take with you over there.
And that's what people don't understand. My mother used to tell me when I was a child, she'd say, Yvonne, whatever personality or whatever attitude you have when you're young, you can multiply it times 100 when you get old. And she's right.
Yes.
So yes. Imagine being a cranky old sot at 100 years old and you die, and you didn't have any friends, you're mad at the world, and then you cross over. Guess what?
That's right. Because all we really take with us is our personality, our thoughts, and what's in our heart. That's it. You know, because you leave everything else here. And if you have all that negativity in you and stuff, that's going with you. You're going to be one heck of a nasty person over there, you know?
So speaking of nasty people, tell me, you know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain, and I'm your host, Yvonne Mason. And as you can tell, we are off the chain tonight. My guest is Reverend Dr. Deborah Simpson, and she is a clairvoyant, among other things. She also does paranormal investigations. And we were just discussing how when you're young, if you're mean and nasty when you're young, you can bet your sweet bippy when you get old and die, you're still going to be mean and nasty. And Deborah's getting ready to tell me about someone who she had an encounter with over the weekend, and I have seen the video. It was not pretty. So go ahead, Deborah, lead up to the final. Tell us what happened.
Okay, so I'll lead up to the video. So what happened is, I got a customer came into my store. He couldn't sleep for over a year. Actually, things have been happening to him since he was young. He doesn't sleep good. It's getting worse as he gets older. He literally goes to bed at night. He lives alone. He sees spiders on the walls. He doesn't touch them. They're not there. His bed shakes with him in it. He's getting banging on the walls, all kinds of different stuff, and he feels like he's losing his mind. He's not sleeping. So he came in for help. So I, along with the team I work with, we went out to his home this past Saturday. And we went in, and first we did a little investigation. I don't use any equipment. The people I'm with do. They set up their EVP recorders, and they have their cameras and their video and stuff like that. I go in as a medium, and I just see what I get on my own. So we went. He was definitely afraid of the attic. So, of course, we went into the attic. Now, mind you, we didn't do this at nighttime because I'm not a big fan of doing things in the dark. So, you know, we went when there's still sun out, you know. So we went into the attic, and, you know, they're setting up their equipment. You see a lot of orbs flying by and stuff like that. Before the EVP was set up, or after, I don't know when he set it up, which means that you're getting it on a recording that you have to listen to later. So it's not something that you're hearing when you're in the room, physically there. You have to listen to it later. And I just felt a very negative, nasty presence in the room. And I was telling them what I was getting. Like, I'm hearing, I'm not your friend. Get out. You know, just really nasty things. And next thing you know, like, my voice started getting lower. My voice started changing. My facial expression was changing. And my boyfriend was with me, and he was standing there, and he gave me this scary look. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm getting out of here. But right before I got out, during the EVP session, this was caught on video. I had said out loud, state your name. And, you know, you wait a few seconds to let the EVP pick anything up. And then I got the name Hell, but in a very low, raspy voice. I said, Hell. Like, that's the name, Hell. Well, when my when the paranormal person, Joel, went through his video, you hear on the EVP, it says hell coming from the other side, somebody from the other side. 3 seconds later, you hear me say hell in the same kind of raspy, low voice. So it was validating for me, but it was scary at the same time that the man living in there was having this thing attack him. I didn't feel that this was an evil person, an evil entity. It was just a really nasty man, like we talked about, just nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there wasn't really, we didn't have to go through a lot of the other steps that I would have had to go through, you know, because it wasn't diabolical. It was just a very nasty man, you know, and he was saying things like get the F out, you know, and I'm not going anywhere. And, oh, you just have, he literally was saying this stuff over this, my guy's equipment. And he's saying, well, you need more than just a girl. What the heck is she going to do? You know, just really nasty. Just, like, really trying to stand his ground. But we got him out. You know, we did a lot of prayer in there, in that house. We did a few special things in there as well. And before we left, you know, the family went back in and confirmed that it felt better. But okay, but of course, you know, I do my follow-up. So I told him to call me in a week. But Sunday, his mother had come into my store because she was there Saturday night, and she came into my store and said that her son woke up with a smile on his face on Sunday and actually slept throughout the entire night without incident for the first time in about a year. So that was absolutely amazing. So we're very proud of that.
So was this an older house?
Yes. I asked the man, I'm like, do you know the history of this house? And it's in a section of New Jersey. It's a very, very old, old historic town. And this home is situated in that area. Not like in a great area of the town. I mean, it's not like crime or anything, but it's just like an out-of-the-way area of the town. And apparently he told us that the history of the home is that it was around during the Civil War. And apparently it's something to do with Fort Dix. Now, I don't know if I'm getting that right, but it was something to do with the wars and from a long time ago. And these homes were actually put on this property for the men fighting. And so there apparently was a lot of death on that property. So, and we did get a lot of evidence, like orb evidence and stuff like that. So there was a lot of activity on that property. So, which would make sense because this guy probably died there and wasn't leaving. He's like, I live here and I'm not leaving. Well, yes, you are because you died a long time ago and it's time for you to get out of here. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, very
so
interesting.
If someone comes to you and wants a reading, maybe they need to find... Closure is not a good word because there's never any closure in a death. But maybe they need to understand it's okay for them to continue moving onward even though their loved one is gone. How would you set that up? What would you do? What would you tell your client?
If they wanted it about somebody who's passed on?
Right.
Well, normally the people over the phone, I do readings over the phone, but for something like that, I need a picture. So I would need a picture of the deceased person, just like a face picture to focus on. And I would basically focus on the picture and tell them everything I'm getting from that particular individual. It could be things that are specific. It could be things that are not specific. Whatever I get from the deceased is what I deliver to the client who's asking for the reading. Many times, little things, I remember I did a reading, for instance, and the woman, her mother had just passed away, and she was going back and forth to the houses, her house and her mother's house, to try to fix up, you know, get it ready for sale. And she wanted, and I remember getting from her mother, reindeer. I'm hearing reindeer. And I said to the woman, did your mom like Christmas or something? She goes, oh, I don't know why. I'm like, I'm getting reindeer. I'm like, just reindeer. Well, apparently her mother had collected figurines of reindeer. She loved reindeer. And I said, oh, okay. And then I saw the white man's old fireplace, and she confirmed it. And there was a big one, a big reindeer on top of it. And she confirmed that there was, you know. So it's things like that, little messages that come through. You know, I don't like it when people say, are they happy now? You know, because that's too general, and it's, I don't want to say, like, that's not a question that you need to be asking a medium, because the answer undoubtedly would be yes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's like I don't do it that way. I don't want any questions until the end. You know, let me tell you what I'm getting. Let me let you know everything I get for you. And then if I don't answer a question based on the information that I get for you, then of course you ask. You know, but don't, so the way I do it is you don't speak. Don't tell me anything. All I need is a person's first name and a picture. That's it. And then I do the whole thing myself. And then you ask questions, you know, later, of course.
When it says here that you had had helped with finding missing persons, you
yes.
were involved in that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I did it remotely, and I remember like one specific case, and you know who it is. I won't mention any names. You know who this one is. I think it was in Minnesota, Minneapolis. I don't remember. It was an M state. But I was here in my home, and a woman had gone missing, and they were frantic over finding this woman, and they couldn't find her. And she had kids and everything. She was a young girl. Couldn't find her. So they had sent me a pictures of her stuff, like a picture of her scarf, a face picture of her, and just like a picture of something else that like she wore all the time, so that I can see these pictures and try to focus on them and get something. And I remember, and of course you'll know who this is, Vaughn. You can validate it.
Probably.
Yeah, you'll be able to contact her and check it out. I won't mention any names over here though, but she, I remember this very like strongly, because the woman, I see, it's not every day that you envision a big red old time car, or like not a red car, but red vinyl interior on an old car. So I remember seeing that, and I remember seeing an old building with like, what do you call it, graffiti all over it, in a certain section of a highway. And it turned out that the guy that they were focusing on as being the one that did something to her had a car like that, and there was a building like that around the area. And I never was to the state. I was in my house. I zoomed over the phone for her. I think they ended up finding her. I'm not quite sure, but it was just to find out that the little things that I got about her were correct. That's a little, you know what, it's validating, but it's scary at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it is.
Because
it
we
is,
know
you
things,
know?
And we don't know how we know things, but we know things.
Right.
And when they come right. true, then our stomach kicks the floor because we're going, oh, shit.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I never take it for granted. I never call myself an expert. I never say I know everything, because the minute you start kicking your gifts in the head like that, you're going to lose them. So, you know, I'm always humble to them. And as long as I'm not coming with, I've had good success with them, you know.
Well, tell me, because like we've told the audience, you and I have known each other for a long, long time. When you opened up your shop, I want you to explain to the audience where you opened it up and what's in it and why you did it.
Good question. You know, that's actually a funny thing, because you'll know this. You know, I've had my website or whatever. And I think in, like, 2010 or 2011, excuse me, I came up with, like, this thing for a group page on my website. I called it Spirit Cove. And it was a group on my website. And I just, for some reason, the name came to me, and I said, oh, that's cool. So I put it up on my website. And I was going to make like a little group called Spirit Cove on the internet. And then in 2012, I'm like, no, wait, I want a business. So I LLC'd it. And I confirmed that I had the name, Spirit Cove LLC. Okay, what am I doing with that? I have no idea. So I had the business name, no clue. 2013, I took all my paranormal stuff, and my sister is all into the gemstones and rocks and the metaphysical properties of all those, and we decided to open a store. So we went down to a flea market in New Jersey. It's called English Town Auction. It's literally a flea market. It's open up Saturdays and Sundays. And there was inside, there's a bunch of buildings where you can get an indoor store. And so we went ahead and got an indoor store. And we started out with bare minimum stuff. We had some stones, some rocks. We had tapestries. You know, I was doing my readings, and we had some, you know, smudge abalone shells and things like that. And then in about 5 months, we blew out. Our store blew up. We went from a little single space to a triple space in the flea market. We have all kinds of things like incense and all kinds of different incenses. We have, you know, Tibetan singing bowls. We have African stuff. Native American, stones, rocks, and just all kinds of eclectic stuff. We tried to bring in a little bit of the spirituality from around the world. So we try to have like different, you know, spiritual aspects of every point of the world, you know, coming into the store. You know, it's still a work in progress, but we try. And then this year, we just opened up a brick and mortar. So we have another location. We have a full-time location now, and we're still in the flea market. So we have the two stores. We've been approached to open up more stores, but we don't have the manpower for it. So, you know.
Well, don't you also have some employees, for lack of a better word, that are in that second store? Don't you have another medium and some other folks?
Yes. I run the store on the weekends in the English town, but at the full-time store, that's where we have a lot of different people in there. We have a shaman who does a lot of drumming journeys and teaches you about how to connect with your ancestors. She does all kinds of different meditations and healings. We have a Reiki practitioner in that store who also does healing sessions by appointment. We have a tarot card reader. We have a few tarot card readers in that store as well. And we have other people that come in to do these amazing workshops. We have a light language woman who comes in, and she's just amazing. When she goes into a trance and starts talking, it's just the sound that comes out of her is amazing. So we have a lot of that. We also, you know, we bring in an astrologist, you know, every couple of months, she does everybody's charts. We have really good readers in our store. Once a month we do the psychic fair in the store. So we do a lot of the cool events in the store. And
if someone in your area or even an out-of-towner wanted to visit your store, where is it located?
I was in Asbury Park. It's on 413 Bond Street, Asbury Park, New Jersey.
And it's called Spirit Cove, right?
Yeah, it's called Spirit Cove. It's a freestanding store on Bond Street in Asbury Park.
Now, you say that you have crystals in there. We've got a few minutes. Explain to our listening audience who may not know what some of those crystals do and why you carry them.
We have a great selection of crystals, and my sister in our store is phenomenal with working with people with the stones. They all have different energies, and they're all associated with different chakras of the body. They're all associated with different aspects of wellness, so physical wellness, mental wellness, emotional wellness. They're all associated with different areas of the body and different aspects of the body. And like, for instance, amethyst. People know amethyst, and amethyst is actually, it's an awesome stone, and we sell a lot of amethyst for to help people with addiction, and this could be with alcoholism, drug addiction, and it helps with addiction, and it just helps with overall wellness. Quartz crystals, people know people use it for negativity, you know, to block the negativity, but what people don't know is also a quartz crystal. If you combine that, if you hold that in your hand with another crystal, such as amethyst, it'll amplify the energy of the amethyst. So you actually get, it's more, it becomes more powerful and more in sync with your own energy. It's really a process. It's people come in and buy the stones. Some of them come in for to help them with cancer. We had people come in and ask for stones to help their loved ones with cancer. Back pain. Selenite is a wonderful stone for back pain. You know, you can actually rub the stone literally on your back, and it'll ease the pain of the back. Carnelian is a great stone for headaches. That I know from my own experience, because I was at one time, had a headache, took some Advil, didn't go away. We were at a gem show. 5 minutes later, I walked over, I see a carnelian. I'm like, oh, that's pretty. Then I picked it up, and within 5 minutes, my headache went away. Not enough time for the Advil to kick in. So, of course, I had to buy the stone. You know, so I walked out with the stone. I'm like, you know what, I can get this for a lot cheaper, but I have to buy yours. All right, whatever, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the stones are remarkable. They really are remarkable. Rose quartz. Rose quartz helps people who have, it's really good for the heart, you know, and especially for emotional issues, too. You know, like, so people are out of a relationship or they're missing someone, they're grieving, you know, and their heart hurts. You know, it's a very good stone to help the grieving process, to help open your heart up to love again. Some people are closed off and they can't. So it's a wonderful stone for that, too.
So if someone came into your store and they were a novice and they didn't understand the power of the energy of these stones, how would your sister help them understand it without it?
Oh.
Because, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to have the naysayers that go, yeah, right. So how would she explain that in the entire earth, it's nothing but energy. We're all energy.
Yeah. Everything's energy. Basically, she doesn't have to explain anything. She lets you experience everything. When you come into our stores, we don't talk to you about it. I mean, you know, we'll answer questions, of course, you know, and stuff like that. But we don't sit there and lecture about the stones. You come in, you tell us, you know, what you're kind of looking for. We'll just pull the stones out. We'll put them on the counter. We won't tell you anything. We won't even tell you what they are. You know, and it doesn't even matter about the price. And sometimes we work with people for up to two and a half hours working with people, because we want you to experience it for yourself. So, you know, we'll show you what hands to put them in. We'll show you, you know, you put it in one hand for something and put it in the other hand for something else, because the non-dominant. So you put them in your hands and you tell us what you feel. If you don't feel anything, okay, that's fine. If you feel something, great. What do you feel? You know, it's just, I think it's a matter of self-epiphany. I think, you know, it's a matter of people, like, having their own wow moments, you know, and we're not there to really push the sales of our products. It's not why we're there. We're there more because it's our passion. You know, I've had my business for 3 years and I still don't pay myself. I got to be passionate about it, right?
That is true. But don't you agree that as humans, and my mother and I have had this discussion for years, because she has fought being an empath. She's fought it and fought it and fought it. I said, Mother, you have to stop fighting it. You just have to embrace it and control it, because
yes.
It's not going to go away. But as human beings, we tend to fight that which we don't understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I actually... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I welcome skeptics into my store, too. That's all.
Well, and that's where I was going with that, is when you get a skeptic in there, and they have that aha moment because they've allowed their minds to open up to something that they know, A, nothing about, and B, at this point, don't understand it, and then it's like a light goes off.
Mm-hmm. It does. I think as human beings, too, we don't learn from people telling us. We really don't. You know, our experiences and what we learn are based on our own experiences, what we feel, what we touch, what we see. It's based on our own perceptions. It's based on how we take everything in and formulate our own opinions. And we learn because we experience it ourselves. That's the key to any of it. And so when someone comes into the store who's a skeptic or, you know, never heard of this stuff and stuff like that, we don't believe in a lecture. We'll tell you a little bit about them, about the energy that comes from the earth, you know, simple stuff like that. And then you just have them hold them and experience it for themselves. And I think that's the best way for anyone to really learn about that stuff is just to connect with it on their own, you know, and learn.
What I found interesting is for centuries, the Orientals and the Indians had their own medicine. In fact, even the pioneers for this discussion had their own medicine. The medicine women of the Celtic clans had their own medicines, and it worked. And we got away from that and decided and figured out that the pharmaceutical companies knew more than the naturalists did. And I think we've hurt ourselves on many, many levels.
Oh, yes, we have. As a matter of fact, I can tell you three things, or four things to use to beat cancer naturally that doesn't interfere with you with the med doctor's medication and chemo. I know two people who are beating cancer using a concoction of fluorescent detox tea, maitake mushroom extract, B17 vitamin, and dandelion tea, organic dandelion.
Well, dandelion tea is the best stuff for digestion I have ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's
because
very
it's
good.
Natural. Yeah, because it's natural. When I have all kinds of stomach issues, and because I will go and drink the dandelion tea, it works naturally. Now, if I were to spend thousands of dollars going to a doctor, he would want to put me on thousands of dollars worth of artificial medication that may or may not work and would destroy my body in the process.
Exactly. Why do that? There's natural remedies.
So I think we need to get back to the natural on a lot of things. We've become too dependent on pharmaceutical companies, and they're the ones making the fortune.
Yes, medical care is a profitable thing. It's not non-profit. People need to remember that. Medical is for profit.
And the older remedies do work.
Oh, yes, they work.
So we have about 6 minutes left, Deborah. Tell our listening audience where they can find you and how they can find you so that they can come find you.
Of course. Of course. Well, my business website is Spirit Cove, C-O-V, like Victor E, LLC.com. And that has both of our store locations and other good stuff that we do. We also have a newsletter, so you can sign up for that on there. And my personal site is at Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N.org. But the best way to contact me is through the Spirit Cove LLC website. We're also on Facebook at Spirit Cove LLC. Do a lot on Facebook. And
yes, she does.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. My guest tonight is the Reverend Dr. Deborah Simpson, and I say those titles very respectfully, because Deborah has worked very, very hard to get where she is. And I am very humbled that she agreed to come on my show tonight. We have been friends for 10 years, even though we've never met in person. We made a connection many years ago, and we've kept that connection. And for that, Deborah, I am very grateful, and I'm very thankful. And if give Deborah a chance. I'm telling you, I've learned in my old age that newer is not always better, that if you rely on common sense and if you rely on listening, and Deborah, tell me if I'm wrong, listening to your body and listening to your inner workings and listening to yourself, your body can, A, tell you what is wrong, and, B, if you give it the right things without artificial junk, sometimes it can even heal itself if you allow it. Am I right, Deborah?
Absolutely, 100% correct.
So with that in mind, give Deborah a chance. If you're in the Jersey area, go by her stores, talk to her people, and if you need a paranormal investigation, call Deborah and her team. If you feel like that you need to talk to someone that has departed, call Deborah. Read her books. I'm going to tell you, her books are phenomenal. Deborah has got a soul so deep that I haven't found the end of it yet. Because where she comes from in her writing is phenomenal. It's from the heart, beyond the heart. Deborah, any final thoughts in the last minute or so?
Any final thoughts? The only thing I have to say is I love you dearly. You're a blessing to have in my life, and you're a phenomenal woman. And if anybody's got to read books, they have to read yours.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. And I love
your
you back. I love you back. It's been a journey you and I have taken.
Yes.
With our little core group of people. That, in fact, I've had a couple of them on the show already. There was a core group of us in the beginning, and we've all stayed in contact. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're an author out there, an artist or a musician, and you want on the show, let me know. I'm on Facebook. All you have to do is send me a text and say, Ivana went on your show, because I do pay it forward. People have been so kind to me over the years. Deborah's been one of my biggest supporters. She has helped me over some bumpy roads, and she has paid it forward by promoting my work as I have her. And without each other, we're nothing. So, again, get in contact with me. Tomorrow night, my guest is another author. Her name is Patricia Neely Dorsey. She is out of Mississippi. She writes poetry, and she is the Goodwill Ambassador for the state of Mississippi. You do not want to miss this show. And Deborah, once again, my friend, I want to tell you how grateful I am for you and how much, and I appreciate you coming on my show, how humbled I am that you came on my show, and how educational you have been tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You didn't even know. I love your new show. I'm so glad you started it. And I'm humbled to be a guest on your show.
And well, after the first of the year, I'm going to bring you back, because we didn't cover half of the stuff we needed to cover tonight.
No, we didn't.
And by then,
no,
you may have more. You may have more paranormal investigations out there, more evil people that are saying their name is hell or something.
Oh, I hope I don't meet any more hells.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that without you all, my show would not be successful. Without my guests, my show would not be successful. This is your host, Ivana Mason, and we do call this show Off the Chain, because we are off the chain. So until tomorrow night, I say good evening. All right, Miss Deborah, the show is now over, my friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. That was a fun show.
It was, and what I'll do is I'll post all this and get you the podcast, and then you use it any way you want to.
Thank you so much. And listen, if you ever want a reading for your niece, right? Is your niece that passed away?
My granddaughter.
Granddaughter, I'm sorry. I knew it was somebody close to you. If you ever want a reading or something, send me her photo, and I'll do a write-up for you. No charge.
All right. I will do that, my darling. Thank you so much. That will make her mother happy.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I get some really, like, pointed stuff that could really help. So, you know, might be able to help a mother a lot, and you too, you know?
Thank you, my love. So I will talk to you later.
Great. Have a good day. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.